All right, big hour coming up. George Springer will call in just a matter of moments. We're looking forward to catching up with George, one of the newest Blue Jays. They keep adding new personnel to the team. So since he signed, they brought in at least one other player, but he is the main piece over the course of the offseason, and it's a big one. It's a big deal, the biggest contract in team history. And he rolls in, he'll play center field, he'll bat leadoff, and he's a stud. And we're looking forward to catching up with him. So he'll call us in just a matter of moments. Jerry's After Dark later in the hour for the first time, I believe, in 2021. That's very exciting news. And the Leafs are coming off a win last night. And the Leafs took both games in Calgary. And it doesn't matter how. It's how many. And they're 6-2. They got 12 points in 8 games.
That's right. You get two in regulation. You get two in regulation out there. That's all you're looking for. No extra point for Calgary. Because when it all comes down to it, Toronto and Calgary might be neck and neck in the group of four. So you just take them and get out of Dodge. You go to Edmonton and try to do the same. Noodles talked about Edmonton's schedule. I don't think they're going to be fresh as a daisy tomorrow night. So don't be shy to swoop up another two and just keep rocking.
Well, Leafs have played just as many games. Like the Leafs have played more games than anybody.
Yeah, I think they played the same as Edmonton, eight games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they both have. And there's other teams that have played. Like, I think Calgary's played 5.
Yeah, it's a weird
which
schedule.
Which is weird. And then I think Winnipeg's played 7. Yeah. And Montreal's been sitting at home. They started with a ton, and then they've been sitting home. They play tomorrow against Calgary. Calgary's on their way to Montreal, which will be tough for Calgary. You played last night. Now you've got to go out east and lose 2 hours. And, hey, that's what it's going to be all season long, I guess, for another 14 weeks. Because what are we? 2 weeks, three
weeks.
Yeah,
we're only a couple weeks in, and it's a good start. And that was a good game last night. I mean, overall, it was a bit choppy at times, a bit slow at times. But, you know, there are times you realize the fans aren't in attendance. But the Matthews and Marner show was on display last night. They didn't play a ton of minutes, relatively speaking. You know, they had been playing 24, 25 minutes plus, and I think they were around 19 or 20 last night. And that's a connection we spent the first 2 or 3 years talking about, wanting to see happen. It just never came to fruition. And now that they're connected, I don't see why you would ever think about splitting them up unless you, for whatever reason, hit a cold streak, massive injuries where you feel like you got to balance it out a little bit. But I see these two playing together for the next 3 or 4 years, if not beyond that. Like, just lock them in.
I don't see the guy on left wing leaving anytime either, because they need the work and they need that guy to be dependable.
But that's where I guess that was my question to both of you the other day, when the injury to Thornton. You think when Thornton comes back, he automatically goes there?
I don't think so.
I really don't. I don't.
But this is no disrespect to Joe, but they already had chemistry. Obviously, Mitch and Austin Matthews have chemistry, but Hyman's a guy who hunts. Like, he's a hunter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's, and then you're throwing VC around. Like to me, that left side was the question mark, but not really on that top line, because I think Hyman's
a
guy
that's
very stable, very stable. You know what you get from him night in and night out. And I almost felt with Joe in the lineup, they were still looking to, integrate him in and get him where, Hyman, it's like, you go and get us the puck, and we'll see you on the bench type of thing. Like, I almost feel like the two of them play together, which is fine. It's not disrespectful.
No, you forget about them, but it's a compliment, because
you
don't have to worry or think about Zach Hyman.
Exactly.
You know exactly what he's doing, exactly what he's bringing to the table. And if he's playing with those two guys, and he proved it last year and even the year before, he's going to tap in some goals too.
Right.
Like, he's not just out there to dump and chase. And like, he'll get in the muck, he'll get in middle ice, and he'll tap in a couple.
Right.
And you're going to get ample opportunities, because those two are so locked in. Like, Mitch Marner's had an outstanding start to the year. He has been engaged pretty much every single shift, every single night. And he's got the points to show for it. He's getting the minutes to prove it. And he's on a winning club. And it's their team, right? We spent so much of the offseason talking about Thornton coming in, and Simmons, and Bogosian, and Brody. This was always going to be 34-16. You know, where are these two guys going to drag you if they're going to be playing together every night?
Yeah.
And clearly, Tavares plays a big role. Willie plays a big role. It's a team sport, as we know. But those are the two main dogs.
Yeah.
You know, those are the two guys.
I agree.
And they look like it. They look like they're ready for it.
Well, they look comfortable, and they're producing. And that's all you want. And, with Matthews, you know, the first game in Calgary, he looked ginger. Did he not? Like,
yep.
He looked a little ginger coming off of whatever he had going, whether it was, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not assuming anything. I thought maybe it would be back spasms or something like that, you know, where they weren't too worried about it and came back
it was,
in.
The first one, it was like, let me see how this goes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. And he kind of, you know, meandered around, even though it was a weird game anyways, at 2 o'clock start there and all that. But last night, there was no ill effects whatsoever.
No, he looked good. He looked good. And we get McDavid Matthews again tomorrow night and on Saturday night. So the hockey material is at the forefront, man. There's a lot cooking in this country right now, but there's a lot of excitement coast to coast. I mean, the Blue Jays, yeah, they're spending money more than any other team going right now, more than the Yankees, the Sox, the Dodgers. And they handed out the largest contract in team history to George Springer. And I'm sure he's aware of that now.
Team meal.
Yeah, but, like, what comes with that title? Do you roll into the clubhouse and you make sure everyone knows nobody in history has been paid more than me?
Or do you get the Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling treatment, where I guess in Arizona they had these big, giant chairs and everyone else had, like, a little weasel chair?
I want the chair.
Like a bar stool.
Yeah.
And I want to see if he's going to get a chair or something different. I want to know all about it.
All right, let's get to the bottom of it. Here he is from the Toronto Blue Jays. He'll be playing center field. He'll be batting leadoff. George Springer. What's up, George?
How we doing?
We're doing good, man. Are you a big chair in the clubhouse guy, or what's a routine?
No, not at all. I'm the complete opposite. I will take the stool.
Okay. Wow. I like it, man. I support that because that means you're a clubhouse guy, right? That's a title I'm sure you're proud of. That's been thrown out a lot over the past couple of weeks, is you're a veteran presence and you're going to come in and all the boys are going to love having you around the clubhouse. That's got to be, you know, pretty flattering to hear that from former teammates and people throughout the game.
Yeah, you know, I hope that that's the case, you know, but again, at the end of the day, it's my job to earn these guys trust. It's my job to earn their respect. You know, I'm not going to come into a locker room that's already been pretty much created by the guys who are already there and say, this is how it's supposed to be done. That's no way. I'm going to come in, I'll be myself, but respect the guys who are there and respect the culture that's been created. Just maybe add a little thing, you know, here and there.
George, we were talking about the code as far as signing the big contract and maybe taking the boys out for dinner. Do you have a built-in excuse where you're like, I don't really know you guys that well, so maybe I'll pass on that? Or when you sign for the 150, is it automatic you got to take the fellas out or do something?
No, I think it's pretty much automatic, but at the same time, I'm more than willing to do it. You know, I want to get to know these guys. Unfortunately, I don't know if we're going to be able to with the pandemic and all that stuff. So maybe I can order somebody some food and we can hang out over Zoom or FaceTime or whatever it is. But I'll make sure that I get the boys some food, well, wherever it is.
With George Springer, well, it is. I mean, it's as unique of an experience as we're ever going to go through, what we're dealing with right now with COVID. And I'm sure you had been anticipating free agency for quite some time. You know when your contract's up, you know how good of a player you are, and you know a lot of teams are going to be kicking tires on you. But I'm sure you did it a lot of it through Zoom. You were introduced to the market this morning through Zoom. Have you enjoyed the free agent process? What has it been like, in particular in 2021, when you consider what's going on in the world?
You know what? I haven't enjoyed it. I don't really know any other way. You know, I've never been through this process, so the whole Zoom thing has pretty much just become a new normal, I think, for me and probably for officials and executives. It's a fun process. It's an interesting process, you know, to go through it. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm extremely happy in the end result. I'm where I want to be and extremely happy about it.
Have you had an opportunity to talk to any of your new teammates and, you know, maybe have a conversation or two to just kind of see, get the lay of the land and talk about the city and the organization?
I've talked to a few, yeah, you know, but I also I'm kind of just attempting to extend myself, you know, say hi to guys, you know, it's my job again to let them be comfortable with me and you know, to really get to know people. So I'm slowly starting that process of kind of introducing myself, you know, over the phone to some degree. I'm looking forward to kind of getting down to spring training so I can put a face, you know, on a number and just really start to enjoy it, man. You know, this is a great time. You know, I've known Cavan for a long time, just, you know, by default with his father. I've known Grichuk for a while. I obviously played with Teoscar and Fish and you know, I'm very, very familiar with Hudgy. So I've all had a pretty cool conversation with all of them and it's been a fun, you know, last probably 8 days.
With George Springer, well, the comparisons between where the Jays are at today and where Houston was at, you know, back in, let's say, 2014, give or take, has been brought up quite often. And even by the GM, Ross Atkins, has used that as kind of a mirror, like what the Jays are trying to get to. And you would have been playing the role of, you know, like a Bo Bichette or a Kevin Biggio. You were a young guy drafted by the team, developed by the team, came up, made a huge impact with a bunch of younger guys. Now that you're 31 and you're kind of jumping on this train, I guess, that's moving in the right direction, do you see the similarities to where the Jays are today compared to where you guys were down in Houston 6-7 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, like I said earlier, I had the privilege to play with, you know, with Alex Bregman, with Jose Altuve, Carlos Hooray. No, those are some of the best players in the game. And when you look across the sideline, you know, when I was on the other side, it was very, very similar. And you could tell that guys like, you know, Bichette, Biggio, Guerrero, you know, all of those guys, one, that they want to win. Two, they play the game hard. And well, when you can obviously see the talent, you know, this is a very, very hard division. You know, the AL East is a grind, and to come out of that and to make the playoffs last year with such a young core, I think is fantastic. And then, you know, I guess the other side of it is I've been very blessed to go through kind of what these guys are about to go through as a team. So, you know, any way that I could help, I'm extremely happy to do so.
Well, I would suggest just keep doing what you're doing. I think that'll probably go a long way. And when you guys get back to the playoffs, keep rolling like you did back in 17, where you won the World Series MVP and you were as locked in as anyone we've seen in a long time, the biggest stage. And we had the conversation revolving around a signing about the clutch gene, where, you know, baseball is so analytically driven, so driven by the numbers, I think almost to their own peril in some ways. But I believe in the clutch gene. I know that the other two guys on this show believe in it somehow, even though you can't actually define it. It's not tangible. But do you believe in it? And if you have it, you know, why do you think it works for you? And why do you think you can step up to the plate and do what you've done in the biggest moments of your career?
Yes, I do believe in it 100%. As regards to myself, you know, I really just try to slow the moment down, if that makes any sense. Like I just try to breathe. I try to enjoy it. And I think when you play in these big games, you tend to try to overthink and you know, put a lot of stock into, oh man, you know, this is a huge game. But the way that I kind of approach it is, you know, you've most likely already faced the guy that you're facing once or twice. You've already played this team. It's, you know, you've already played in this place. Understanding that it is the same game, you are playing the same team, and just really, really trying to slow down. You know, I believe that in the playoffs, stats don't matter, stats don't count. You know, it's all about staying in the moment. And the beautiful thing is when a team believes that, and you know, it doesn't matter that you go 0-for-4 if you can advance a runner, or you know, just have an 8-pitch at bat to get to the next guy. Do whatever you can at the time that the game is asking you, and just really trying to enjoy it.
How would that apply to batting leadoff, where it seems like there's certain guys, a lot of guys, who I just don't think are comfortable with it? You know, seeing the first pitch and stepping up when all eyes are on you for the first moment, especially if you're on the road. but it's worked for you. You're aggressive. You know, you're a guy who hits a lot of basically leadoff home runs. Why has that worked for you? Why do you feel so comfortable leading off?
I love it. You know, I believe that if I'm hitting first, my job is somehow, some way, I got to get to first base. You know, it's my job to understand how the guys like to hit behind me. So, you know, I need to know certain situations or certain times. But I don't know. I love it. I think it's fun. You know, I tend to be the first guy up at the plate. But when the guy's, you know, he's all hopped up and he's ready to go and he's throwing 100 out of the chute. But I embrace it. You know, I like being able to tell the guys, hey, this is what I saw. This is how he went. You know, this is how the ball was moving. It's not always about getting a hit at your first at bat. You know, there's a lot of things that a leadoff hitter can do, you know, that will impact the rest of the lineup. And it doesn't always, you know, have to end in a hit.
With George Springer. So we're not sure where you guys are going to start the year. Could be Dunedin, might be Buffalo. At some point over the course of your deal, you'll be back in Toronto and the house will be packed. And you've played a bunch of games up here throughout your career. It's known as a hitter's park. How do you feel you're going to kind of mesh in or mix in here up at the Rogers Center? And how do you feel about playing in the Dome in general?
I'm excited about it. You know, every game that I've ever played as a opposing player, the atmosphere has always been pretty much electric. It didn't matter if it was, you know, a Wednesday day game, a Friday night game. It didn't matter. And then kind of watching some game, you know, some playoff games from afar, you know, when the place is going, it's just going wild and it's loud and the camera's shaking because it's so loud in there. I look forward to that, you know, and I'm excited to play there as a home player, you know, whatever that is. The way that the fans are really kind of embrace the team, they're into every pitch, they're into everything. So I look forward to it. And, you know, whenever that is, it is. And you know, I can't wait for that day.
Yeah, it's going to be cool to have you guys back up here, hopefully sooner rather than later. Congrats on the new deal, and welcome to Toronto. And we always appreciate you taking time for us. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, George.
Appreciate everything, guys. Thank you.
You got it. There he is, George Springer, first time on Overdrive.
Love it. Love it, Hazy. And what you got to do, Hazy, when you ask the clutch gene question to a stud who has the clutch gene, you got to fire it out to somebody who doesn't.
I can't ask.
Just some guy, a choke artist. Who's a choke artist in pro sports right now? A guy that just will buckle under pressure. If we have him on, you got to say, do you believe in the clutch gene, and do you think you have it?
That is tough. You're right. I mean, it was – I knew what
it was.
It was
a layup.
Coming.
The guy's clutching.
It was – he's clutch. I mean, I prefaced it by saying you won the World Series MVP. I mean, that's pretty clutch. But I just want to hear what a pro athlete has to say about that. I mean, baseball, it's all about numbers and all that kind of stuff. And he seems kind of like a throwback, put me in there. I want to step up. Like, leading off, again, is a mentality that a lot of players just don't have. They're not comfortable with it. They don't want it.
And he even said, like, the playoffs, the numbers don't matter. Like, you're out there grinding away. Like, he did sound like a throwback, a guy who, you know, and I liked what he said about leading off, too. Like, even if you don't get a hit, it's if the guy's throwing gas and the way the ball's moving, you can help the rest of the lineup.
Right.
He seems like a quality, you know, team guy. That's what you want.
Well, that's what they're paying for, right? It is the biggest contract in team history, and that he's well aware of it.
Those are tough questions. Like, you got the biggest, you know, are you going to well aware of it? What if he was like, yeah, I'm going to have my contract hanging around my neck? And
wouldn't you take pride in that, though? I would take pride in that.
What do you think the marching orders for the agent was? Flat out, get the most money, and I do not care where it is.
That was, you know, get the most money goes without saying. I mean, I think, yes, I think that was a big factor, but there had to be more to it than that. When you're putting 5 years of your career on the line here, you know.
Yeah.
If you're a winner, too, you want to take into consideration a team that can win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's – you sit down with the agent probably, and the agent's done his due diligence for a marketplace, and he probably says there's five teams that are fit for you. And this is what I'm thinking financially in this range. And I've had the agent probably comes to him and said, I've had conversations with five teams that have interest. I'm waiting for their offers. And this is, and, you know, now you and your wife take a look at this city, what you think. Here's the depth charts, you know, all of that type of stuff. Wouldn't you do that?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think if you're the agent and the player, you say, let's narrow this down to five teams or three teams that meet certain criteria. Because a guy right. like Springer was going to get calls from almost everyone, and everyone's going to call. No one's calling saying we can offer right. you $12 million.
I guess it was the three teams. How much can you squeeze out of one of these three teams and I'm done?
That's what I'm saying. I think you right. narrow it down and say, I'm cool with any one of these. Go find the biggest dollar out of those three. You know, like that makes sense to me. Where it's like I could go to Toronto.
Me
I go
too.
To New York. I could go to L.A. Which one do you think offers up the most money?
Dude, you got to stop it. I can't take it seriously.
You went from
like just standing up straight like this for so long, and now all of a sudden you're Johnny Wheeler and Dealer.
Well,
in a
I've got the arms up. I've got the armchairs yeah. up. That's the
Dude,
I got to lift them up so
take
that I
it.
Because I've got them on, and I've just – it's yeah. some. I think it brings a strong presence. Me doing the fingers on fingers.
I know. And, by the way, we got an alarming tweet about the clutch gene, and I'll leave it up to you to read it, Hayes, because it's alarming, it's also factual.
I don't think it's true.
Are you talking about the Aaron Rodgers 0-42 yes. against winning teams in the fourth quarter when he's down at least a point?
It's a legit tweet. 0-42 Aaron Rodgers does not have the clutch gene.
That's very upsetting. I don't believe it. I still challenge the stat.
I want to believe it's fake news. And listen, it's one of those like stats can be very deceptive or they can be misleading. Like you can find a narrative based on, you know, really isolating a stat, going big picture with a stat. This one is, you know, you're really breaking it down like against winning teams in the fourth quarter when you're down a point. But that would suggest those are the biggest games. You know, those are the most right. important games. You're playing against the best teams and Rodgers and the Packers because the whole team has to chew on it. When they're losing by more a point in the fourth quarter against a winning team, they don't win. Yeah. So whether it's he's not clutch or the whole team is in clutch, someone else wrote in Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know if I would ask him about the clutch gene.
It's early for it, but
yeah.
That's
you got
to
win
right now.
You got one win, which is a start for sure. But Jerry's After Dark later in the hour. Back into the Maple Leafs and the Raptors tonight.
Audio.
You know who's not clutch on the line is Giannis. Oh, and we've got the audio we've been teasing. We still haven't played it.
We haven't played it. It's just earth shattering.
Right.
It's like.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. All right, we'll get to that audio. It's a play call. It's a hockey goal that will live in infamy. I mean, it's going to be around forever. The Hall of Fame is going to reach out and want access to this tape.
Yes.
And when I'm in the Hall of Fame as a result, then I'm going to love the Hall of Fame. And
it's
I'm a
hall
supporter.
With some plaques in there. I've always loved the Hall of Fame. You know that. It's a beautiful museum and the artifacts of history. You can't get enough. I love
it. It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's a beautiful place. And I love the people associated with it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Jerry's After Dark a little bit later in the hour. And we got some audio we want to play here in just a moment. I think Jerry sent in an email take that he believes outside of McDavid and Draisaitl, no other teammates will have more combined points than Marner and Matthews. He believes in that pairing.
Is that a Jerry's After Dark?
No, I think he just sent me an email. He just said, hey, mix this in, you idiot. I said, thank you, Jerry. So that's what he thinks. He's a believer in the Matthews-Marner combo in terms of points. He said only McDavid and Draisaitl will have more as a pair of teammates.
Is it the Jerry I think it is?
But is that for the Northern Division or the whole league?
No, it's the whole league.
Yeah. There's a good chance, but I'm still
going to
be
high on
I'm
it.
I'm low on
really
that.
High on it.
You're
really
so
high.
Horny for those two right now.
Well, I will say, McKinnon and Rantanen.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, let's be
two.
Careful there. They're pretty good, too.
Those two. Oh, there's some really good play. I don't know if Sid and Gino are going to, you know, be in that spot by the end of the year. But, Mitch Marner's tied for the lead in points right now. Like he's well on his way to a great season in terms of points, and I think Matthews will be, you know, a little bit further behind him, which he has been over the past couple of years. Like Marner has been the guy to put up points.
I think there's other pairings though. Do I have to give a percentage?
No, it's just something I threw out there.
One guy is so pro that it's happening, and Noodles, you're like, there's no way in hell that this is happening.
It's not that it's no way in hell. It's just like I think it's a lower percentage. Like I'm going to play the field on that. That's not. I thought it was a Jerry's percentage. I was putting some thought to it.
All right, throw a percentage out outside of Drysdale and McDavid, putting those two aside. Matthews and Marner are going to have the most combined points as two teammates compared to anyone else in the league. Any other team in the league?
8%.
Any other duo? 8%.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I like it.
I know you think it's 100.
I disagree
100.
With it. No, I don't think it's 100, but I'd say it's 50%.
I was going to say 55, and I'm even higher than Hayes, who was super
impressed. There's other guys.
I can't even think right now because I am so mad
at Frank's.
Well,
there's Connor's off to a great start. Scheifele's putting up points.
Nikolai Ehlers has 10 or 11 points.
Yeah.
I
don't think that's going to continue, but they're off to a very good start. You know, Pasternak's injured, so it's not going to be Marchand and Pasternak. They're out of the mix.
It could be Pacioretty and Mark Stone. Like, you know, it could be somebody that you don't think. Like, I know Hayes, those two are the greatest players ever constructed, but, like, there are other great players in the NHL, too.
I'm very aware of that.
I believe, like, if I was just guessing, it would be McKinnon and Rantanen, just off the top of my head.
Yeah,
like,
Barkov just, and Huberto are another pair of players that could
but
be there
But that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Maybe I should go higher. Maybe I should be at, like, 15%.
I just don't think, I don't think there's 20 other duos. Like, you know, I know you try to keep it balanced and everything. Marner's had averaged a lot of points in the last 2 years, a lot.
He hasn't gotten 100 points yet.
Right.
He hasn't.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. He's got to get to 100 points. And
how many
Matthews,
players had that in the last 10 years?
He had
how many guys have hit 100 points? He had 93
a couple
years ago.
I don't know. I don't have that in front of me. I'm just saying, but Blake Wheeler had 91 2 years in a row. Like, I'm saying, mm-hmm. there are other duos out there that are just right there, too. That's my point. Like, I'm playing the field. I'm not being disrespectful of those guys. I'm just saying that I think there's at least five pairs in the league that are going to get as many points as them.
They might.
Matthews is the guy that you would be concerned about. He's not as big a point producer.
He's a
goal scorer.
Yeah, he has not historically. I think, again, if the two of them are together, I mean, there have been times in his career where he's had Hyman and Brown on his wing. That's going back a couple of years.
Right.
But, you know. Yeah, we'll see. I'm not saying it's
100%. I should go to 15% because that's 5 or 6 other duos.
I just think
that
you got it. There's other great players clearly in the league, but duos is tough. You know, like duos. Kopitar's off to a great start. There's not a second guy that's going to be up there on that team.
Yeah, you're right.
Like it's not going to happen. And I think Rantanen and McKinnon should be right there with them. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if those two. I would have had Pastrnak and Marchand, but I'm not going
to
now.
It might be Goudreau and Monahan or Goudreau and Lindholm. I think there are others. Like, you're right. In Winnipeg, it could be a combination of, I don't know, Wheeler and Connor or Scheifele and Connor or Ehlers. And one. You know, so there's four guys that are in that to choose from.
Yeah, but you also, you got to be realistic. Like, Andrew Kopp's off to a great start.
Kopp is not included.
Let me just finish this for you guys. They're two elite players, and them playing together, they have as good a chance as anybody. Let's summarize it like that. I do need to bring something to your attention. Frank Seravalli wrote a piece with possible solutions in Pittsburgh, and guess what he did?
He traded
them.
Is he
blocked on Twitter? Does he have John Ferguson Jr. on his list?
This guy put John Ferguson Jr. as a potential replacement for Jim Rutherford in Pittsburgh.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
We should have Frank on.
Frank knows what's up.
I'm calling him tonight.
Where is Fergie working now? Is he in Boston still?
He's still the assistant GM of the Providence, he's the GM of the Providence Bruins.
And assistant GM of Boston. And that's been a pretty consistent...
I'm not even going to go there. Let's just say he's the GM of the Providence Bruins.
Fergie. Does he have a connection with Mario?
Are you kidding me, dude?
I'm just wondering how this is going to play out.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
How we can get Fergie into a gig. I think it's long overdue. It's been a long time. It's been
not
what has
long
it been, 15
overdue.
Years?
Stop it. Now you're now with the hands and the Fergie talk. This guy's going to show up at your house later. If
why don't you give me the Fergie talk and the sit back and the hands and just ask me a question and I'll be Fergie.
Okay. So you're going to be Fergie and I'm
yes.
Who am I, Mario Lemieux right now?
Yes.
Okay, John Ferguson Jr. I'm going to call you Fergie. Do you mind if I call you Fergie or would you prefer John?
You could call me Big Nose, too. I don't care. Go ahead.
Okay. Fergie, I'm looking back and reviewing all of the tape from your tenure in Toronto. There's some really positive things that happened. Is there one in particular that you are most proud of?
I don't really know because I'm a micromanager, and that's what I do. So do you want a micromanager?
Okay. Yes, what we're looking for. Go ahead.
I've got a question for you, Fergie.
Yes.
Did you feel a need to give all of those guys no trade contract?
Or is no, that, but
what
was I
the
did
Dutty
need
question?
To.
No trade clause. Do you regret? Do you regret handing out all those no trade clauses?
It was not a concern.
Can neither confirm or deny that.
Thank you, other Fergie. It was not a concern of mine because what I did was on the plane after games, I would worry about who was sitting beside each other. I didn't worry about no trade clauses.
Okay. So you were actually fire random people
that didn't deserve to be fired because I'm a donkey. Go ahead. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
That's a good
I was
interview.
Just going to say, I want to be on the record. Like, we all have one or two in our sports history of people that you don't care for because of our own personal interactions. Obviously, yours is Fergie because you had a bad interaction with him. You had it was a bad setting. Like, we had Fergie in St. Louis when I was there in the 90s. Like
He came from St. Louis, I believe, when he got to Toronto.
He was always good to me, but he was not in a position like he was in Toronto.
Again, he should have stayed there.
He was properly placed, you know. I think he was, I don't know if he was an AGM or he was something.
Yeah, I think he was. It was a tough run in Toronto.
He was always
it's
nice.
It's been
to
my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's long overdue for an upgrade on that. He needs to knock the rust off the Wikipedia
page. Well, there's
page.
A chance. I mean, if there's a plan in Pittsburgh, maybe Fergie's the guy. I don't think
Let's ask Frank Saravalli. I mean, Frank will tell us at some point. He's writing about it. I haven't read that article yet, but I'll dive into it tonight. I'll give you my take tomorrow at 4:00. You guys ready to hear the audio?
Here, this yes,
is,
the greatest.
This will brighten up your day. Now that Fergie's been brought up, I can tell it's not going over so well. But this, you want to explain how we got this? This is exclusive. This is the world premiere. No one's ever heard this before.
This is just one of those goals. I talked about it earlier. There's Henderson. There's the golden goal out in Vancouver. There's Joe Carter. What else are we talking about here as far as iconic calls?
Oh, man, the band is run onto the field. Like, there's, you know, Musburger, look at that. There's been some great calls over the history of time.
Musburger, look at that.
But
got
this one,
in some trouble.
He did. This one, I think, immediately goes into the Hall of Fame.
This was dug out of the archives, and this is, remember where you are when you're hearing this for the first time, it's the overdrive goal.
Go, we have some news and notes off the top. The Grappler is back in the lineup after a 3-year suspension, and well, for grappling and overdrive. It's also getting Al's brother back from a 24-month conditioning stint in the minors, which, by the way, is not a record.
All right, well, Hayes loses the faceoff. Washington dumps the puck in. Noodles is out to stop it, looking very adroit back at the net. It's Al's brother, slow to pick it up. He sends a terrible pass to Mulls, who gets off the glass of the Grappler. O'Dog swings in and grabs it. Oh, feathers a beautiful sauce to Hayes, and he scores! Holy mackerel, what a shot!
That's outstanding.
That's
a 24-month conditioning stint for Al's brother.
That and a 3-year suspension for the Grappler, for grappling.
Well, shout out to Bonesy and Ralphie. Thank you for doing that.
Overdrive goal. We got to start every show like that. I think that we just fire that up and get jacked up.
Yep. I think we put the Major League theme song underneath and as a bed, and all of a sudden the boys are rocking at 4:00 every single day.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it, man. That's just a horrible pass by Al's brother. Somehow, was it you that knocked it down, feathered
and
there
was
over
a,
to me?
There was a slight little jab when he said, Al's brother's slow to pick it up. Yeah. I didn't like that either.
Yeah, that's uncalled for.
there was a couple gutless comments in there under the breath, but I loved it. I loved it. That was fantastic.
Yes, shout out to Joe Bowen and Jimmy Ralph. We love
the
both of them.
The overdrive goal. We got to fire it up. I love it.
Hey, I got one thing for your golf, because you guys got into the golf thing. You have to get into your picks, correct? Or you've got
them? Well, we kind of established them. I guess I'm taking McIlroy. He's taking Rahm this weekend.
I had a buddy text me who is a friend of the show. He's never been on it, but he's a friend of the show. Scotty Scheffler.
Yes.
Is that a name that should
Mr.
be out
59.
There?
Mr. 59, absolutely. He's sneaky good, man. He was hanging out with Harry Higgs on the Corn Ferry Tour a couple of years ago. He won Rookie of the Year, didn't he, last year, Ro? I think he did. The PGA.
He was. Well, he was Rookie of the Year. He was 59 in Boston.
This gentleman likes to get in one and has a red afro. And he's a big golfer.
Yes, shout out. We love him.
And he said, take Scotty Scheffler. And I said, I'll bring it up. And he said, nice.
Okay, should we do a second round of picks or what?
Well, would Scheffler make your cut on the
second
round? Oh,
Scheffler would
be
in contention for sure. I don't know how much he's played Torrey Pines, you know, throughout his life or throughout his career.
How about we switch it up this week and we do two guys each?
Okay.
Who wants Scheffler? You want him?
I'll take Scheffler because shout out to who you're talking about there, Commie. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it's my Commodore. I'll tell it. Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Former teammate of mine, good friend, and he's watching, and he's like, you got to take Scotty Scheffler.
I'm on McIlroy and Scheffler. I'll take that. Take it to the bank. Do you have second guy? You got Rombo and who else?
You got to give me a little bit of time. I'm not just going to name a guy.
Okay, take some time. Find out who's in the field. I mean, Torrey Pines, I love watching tournaments here. I mean, the U.S. Open's at Torrey Pines this year too, isn't it? I think they're going back there twice. Yep. Might be the PGA, but they're playing Torrey Pines twice in the next few months anyway. All right, so you'll come back and get another pick in. We'll get to one more Jerry's After Dark. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and tee up the Raptors game tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we do, and it's been a while. It has been a while since we heard from Jerry, and Jerry's After Dark with the lights off and the candles lit and the mood just being set just right. We're a couple weeks away from Valentine's Day, too. We should point that out.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, what are you doing? You're not going to any restaurants. You're not going to the movies. It's going to be real pressure on the boys this year. You got to get creative. You got to do something.
And you just order some chocolates in. Maybe some wine. Wine and chocolate.
Look at you, Mr. Romantic over there.
I mean, what is Valentine's anyway?
It's garbage. Me and my wife don't even celebrate it. It's just that and New Year's. No, we can do a nice weekend any weekend. Valentine's not a thing.
So out of spite, you guys don't celebrate?
It's not out of spite. It's
really
more
you need February 14th to get some cheesy box of chocolates to show your love, Brian.
Maybe I do. You know what someone just wrote in? Because I've been doing this lean back with the hands up. This is called steepling. Steepling.
Oh.
And I steeple.
Now it's even creepier.
With the best of them. I just don't know what to do with my hands. You know what I need to do is go get my Raptors replica championship ring. And if I have just a massive ring and I'm sitting like this for 3 hours a day, by the end of the week, we'll have four people watching in the whole country. People won't be able to do it. Like, I get it. It's a crutch right now. I'm comfortable. I got a new chair. I'm feeling good.
Dude, I like it. It means business. When you get back and you start steepling, you mean business.
Okay.
I like it.
Well, you guys ready for one more
horny
hot take?
Tom Brady plays at least three more years in the NFL.
No way, dude. No
That's rich.
Way. Zero, zero,
rich.
Zero, zero. He was recorded on a conversation with somebody. I don't know who it was, but I think it was Peyton Manning or something. Or he was referring to Peyton Manning. He said he's playing until he's 45 years old. That's two more years. Mm-hmm. I'm saying 0%. Do you remember that recording?
Yep. Oh, yeah. He's talked about it. I think he's gone public with that, too. Like,
But he kind of contradicts himself, because then he'll come back and say, I'm just going to keep playing until, you know, the wheels fall off or whatever.
Right.
And he's in a Super Bowl right now. He played well this year. He put up pretty good numbers. 3 years is rich, though. That's a long time. Long time. It's a lot of games, a lot of hits, a lot of tape, a lot of time in the gym. But this guy's a freak, man. He's a freak.
He is. And maybe the team is built around to protect him, like kind of like New England. You know, when you've got a defense like that, you're not going to take as many shots. But I think it's rich. I'm 8% on that.
Yeah, I'll go a little bit higher than 0% for sure, and higher than 8%, because, again, Brady is just not normal. This isn't a normal human being.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'll give credit to Tampa. It doesn't mean he'll stay in Tampa. You know, maybe he goes back home. Maybe he's in San Francisco. Maybe he wants to play in New York for a year. Who knows? But they have that offensive line was outstanding last weekend, and they protect him really well. And he's still quick enough to get the ball out. He's smart enough to know when, you know, pass rushes are coming or blitzes are coming at him. But 3 years is just – that's so much for a guy who's 43 years old. And at what point do you just say, dude, you've done it all? Like, let's say he wins a Super Bowl. You did it. You won one without Belichick. Do you need three more, you know, kicks at the can? I'll say 20%, just because he's Brady and he's not human. And he's doing something right now that we've never seen before. So who knows where he'll be in 2 or 3 years. Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm on the Cavs at home, and I would suggest any executive sitting courtside – doesn't try to provoke, you know, a player on the Pistons tonight. You guys see that video the other night when LeBron and the Lakers were in Cleveland, and LeBron missed a shot at the buzzer to end the third quarter, and there's some Cleveland Cavalier executive sitting courtside, gets up, starts, like, taunting him with claps. Yeah, and I think LeBron went off for 23 in the fourth quarter. And LeBron said after, he's like, that was a bit rich with that. Basically, who the hell are you?
That's worse.
You're the assistant scout.
That's actually worse than the Kyrie comments. Like, it's worse. When Kyrie was like, you know, I'm glad I'm playing with a guy that can finally do it. And when the time matters, it's just like, are you high?
The thing is, you're right. You know why it's worse? Is that guy's probably never thrown a basketball in his life. He's got deep pockets. You know, he's probably an executive that's got a ton of money. But... like, he couldn't hold a candle to LeBron. Like,
I know.
I just would have went Ron Artest and just said, okay, let's talk.
Well, it's LeBron back in Cleveland.
Chicken wing.
Like, he's you know, rectified all the issues of the decision and stuff. He went back. He won you a title. You know, it's LeBron James. Show some respect to the guy. The stand-up clap like you're in grade school.
Yeah,
and then, of course, the King's like, okay, I'll get you. And he did. I think he scored 23 in the fourth. I think Cleveland scored 21. I think he individually outscored that team. So I'm on Cleveland tonight. Brooklyn, I think they're rolling, and I think they get after it in Atlanta. And Miami, they're still depleted. Denver's a really good team, but they battle, you know, and you're getting 6 points at home. I'll take Miami. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. Proline is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, info, matchup stats on your phone. Proline, put your knowledge on the line. Raptors in action tonight. Have not seen if Ananobi's going. Have not seen if Siakam is going. At this point, they were game-time decisions. But if the two of them are out of the lineup and Giannis is stepping into play,
I don't know
who guards him. Like Stanley Johnson, I guess, is the only guy who's going to guard him. But it could be a problem tonight.
It's concerning when you're not getting big names on there. Like, you know, those guys are – you need them. And you're right, Giannis, they haven't been lighting the world up.
No.
But, you know, star power. That's what it is.
Yeah,
star
that's
power.
Right. That's
sticking
right.
on the NBA, what the hell did Doc Rivers tell Joel Embiid? Like, is this a complete flip-flop or
MVP.
What?
MVP.
MVP
Embiid.
Right
yep. He looks
this guy went from all they were talking about was bad diet to MVP.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta love it.
I don't know what Doc Rivers is. I mean, the guy went. He's got incredible talent. It's always been, will he commit to it? Can he stay healthy? Is he aggressive enough? Remember, was it a year ago or 2 years ago? I think Marcus Gasol and the Raptors held him to 0 points in Toronto. I think it was last year at the beginning of the year. 0 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy's 7'3" and 300 pounds, and if he's got any willpower, he's getting inside the paint and putting up numbers. And I think it's just always been about. The light switch, you know, and if it is Doc Rivers, if it's him, whatever's working for him, it's working for him. And Philly's off to a good start. Tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow's Bell Let's Talk Day. Bell will donate more toward mental health initiatives in Canada by contributing 5 cents for every applicable text, call, or social media interaction. So you can join in tomorrow. And that'll start on our station tomorrow morning with First Up at 6 a.m. with Landsberg and Koliakovo. Shout out to our boy, Carlo Koliakovo. It's his birthday today.
Yeah. A lot of love. 38.
Critter.
38 years old.
Lots of love.
Yeah. Getting old, man. Getting old.
38's a nice number.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm looking at.
You're not kissing up on 40 yet. Like,
yeah, you're close. You're close, man. You're no longer in your mid-30s, though.
Believe me, I'm leaning up on the other number, which is rattling my cage a little bit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When is that? 2 years away? 50?
Like 4 months?
You're turning 50 in 4 months?
I will be 50 years old.
Oh, dude.
June 30th.
I don't even like the number.
I know.
Like when I was a kid, I thought a 50-year-old guy was just, it's over.
Yeah. It's an old bag of dirt.
You're done.
Yeah. You have an old bag of dirt sitting here in the middle. Yeah.
Yep.
It's.
Now you got
I honestly, Jamie, all I remember is you saying, yeah, I'm 43, I'm 44.
Yeah,
you're 50 years old.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will
be 50. I picture you like 39 in Vegas, and now you're 50 at home in quarantine.
Yeah,
things have changed.
Things have changed. Every year has been 2 years staying at home, so
right.
That's
it feels
what it
that
is.
Way. Feels that way. Okay, so we are out of here. Raptors coming up tonight. Enjoy that game. Enjoy your evenings. We are back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.